The opening of our parsha brings with it bad news. We are told that the Ikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, that Yaakov's life is coming to an end. He only has a little while left until he dies. And in his last remaining moments, with his last remaining strength, the Torah describes how he calls his beloved son Yosef to his bedside, and he makes one last passionate request, fervent request of Yosef, that he not bury his father, that Yaakov not be buried in the land of Egypt, but rather he should take Yaakov's body after he passes away and bury him back in Eretz Yisrael, back in the Maris Machpelah, with his father, with his grandfather, with his forefathers, with the great Avos and Imahos of our nation. This is so important to Yaakov that he then makes Yosef take a solemn oath, a shvua, that he will carry out this final deathbed wish that he had. And while all of this paints an emotional and powerful portrait of the last minutes, the last moments of Yaakov's life, it begs the question, why was this particular matter of such urgency? Why was it so important to Yaakov that he make this request and do it with such power as to require an oath, that this was the last thing he needed to speak about with his beloved son Yosef? What would have been so bad if he had been buried in Egypt? Why was it so important for him to be buried in the land of Eretz Yisrael in the Maris HaMachpelah? And Chazal suggests three answers that are brought down here by Rashi very, very famously. The first well-known answer that Rashi brings down in the name of the Medrash is that Yaakov understood prophetically that one day there will be a geula, a redemption, a liberation from Egypt, and the third of the plagues that will be harbingers of that geula is kinim, lice, and they will emerge from the soil. If he would have been buried there, evidently there would have been some kind of pain or discomfort he would have felt as the lice emerge from the soil of Egypt, and he wanted to avoid that pain, therefore he said, don't bury me in Egypt. The second interpretation is very different, but somewhat similar, and that is that apparently there's a tradition, we find this in the Gemara as well, that when the time comes for the resurrection of the dead of Tchias HaMesim, even those who merit it can only reemerge into this world, can only actually be resurrected in the land of Israel. And therefore all of the worthy people, the righteous people, the tzaddikim, who've been buried over the many, many centuries in various lands outside of Israel, in Chutz Aretz, will somehow have to tunnel underneath the ground, spinning and spinning and spinning, until they make their way to Eretz Yisrael, and only then will they reemerge into the world. Apparently that process, however we understand it, is very, very painful. And again, to avoid that type of pain, very different than the first type, but similar in that it's avoidance of a kind of pain of being buried in Chutz Aretz, Yaakov wanted to avoid that. He said, please bury me in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the third reason is because Yaakov understood, we know that the Egyptian culture was of worshipping the dead. They mummified the dead, put them in pyramids, they worshipped them. And Yaakov was worried that given the prominence of Yosef, and his prominence by extension, that they would do so to him if his body remained in the land of Egypt. And he didn't want to be involved, even indirectly, and even without his choice, even passively, he didn't want to be involved in the Avodah Zarah, the pagan idolatry of the Egyptians. And therefore he said, please, to avoid that, bury me in the land of Israel. These are three very well-known and fascinating interpretations. But I want to share with you today a fourth interpretation, which is suggested by the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma explains this particular detail of why Yaakov didn't want to be buried in the land of Egypt, but rather in the land of Israel. He incorporates it in part of a broader, powerful, sweeping interpretation he has about Jewish history, Jewish destiny, that starts with Yaakov, but goes for all time. And that is, says the Meshech Chachma, starting with Yaakov, our greatest Jewish leaders understood that when we would be in Gullus for who knows how many years, many, many, many years, there was an obvious danger that we had to think about to try to counteract. And that is, how will a minority Jewish population remain intact and identifiably Jewish when they are totally surrounded by the majority non-Jewish host population? How can we avoid assimilation? How could we avoid having our identity swallowed up into our majority host population? And therefore says that Meshech Chachma, starting with Yaakov, our greatest leaders, Chashva ofanim v'tachpulot asher yasu Yisrael v'yitkaimu l'goy v'lo yitbalalu ba'amim. They thought of all sorts of strategies that they tried to implement to make sure the Jewish people, by implementing such strategies, would avoid assimilating. And he writes very powerfully and poetically about what the risks are, that we shouldn't get caught up in and swept away, b'sha'on galei hayam, by the waves of assimilation, that we shouldn't be blown away, b'metzulos ha-sa'ar, ha-shotef baruach amitz v'kabir, the strong and mighty winds of assimilationist tendencies, which are only natural if you're a minority guest population. How can we withstand these raging storms, these dangerous waves and powerful winds? First person to think about that said, the Meshech Chachma, was none other than Yaakov. And he had various tachpulot, various strategies, including very famously having the Jewish people retain their Jewish names, continue to speak Lashon HaKodesh, retain their unique language. But then, as the Meshech Chachma, one more thing that Yaakov did. What was that? He made sure that he wouldn't be buried in Egypt. And how does that fit into this larger project, this larger strategy of retaining Jewish identity, says Meshech Chachma so powerfully, because Yaakov understood that he would be buried in the land of Egypt, halo hayu mityashim me'eretz Kanan, hayu mishtakim b'mitzrayim, u'machshivim osa l'eretz olaratam. If he would be buried in the land of Egypt, that would be almost the final nail in the coffin. The Jewish people would ultimately forget, they'd give up, they'd relinquish their link, their claim, their connection to the land of Israel, and they would begin to think of the land of Egypt as, in fact, their primary and ultimate homeland, their Eretz Moladata, their homeland, their birthplace. Because where you're buried, especially if you're the head of the house, that signals where is the ultimate connection that your family has. And therefore, he said, it has to be not that I'm buried in Egypt, which would otherwise sever ultimately the link the Jewish people have with Eretz Israel, but even though we're still living in Golos for the foreseeable future, I need to be buried in the land of Israel to make sure to serve as a reminder to all of the generations still yet to be born in the land of Egypt, that Egypt's not our homeland. That our ultimate homeland is the land of Eretz Yisrael. And by so doing, says the Meshech Chachma so powerfully, this maintains the yichus, the connection that Jewish people will have to the land of Eretz Yisrael. And they will continue to appreciate what is so special about the land of Eretz Yisrael. They would have a tremendous ishtokakus, a desire, a connection to remain affiliated with the land of Eretz Yisrael. By being buried there, says Meshech Chachma, Yaakov ensured that something deep and powerful would be planted into the soul of the Jewish people to always be longing for the land, the true land of their forefathers, their true homeland, that of Eretz Yisrael. A powerful fourth explanation offered by the Meshech Chachma for why Yaakov wants to be buried and why eventually all of the Avos, including Yosef, are buried there, part of this larger point to keep the Jewish people separate and unique, even in their Golos.